Yeah, you're listening to KBR and KBR FM San Francisco, the sports leader, a Cumulus Media station. Just a couple minutes late to Ian. Sorry for that. We appreciate his patience. Rap sheet, Ian Rapoport, NFL Network insider, to always wrap up. Always a fascinating Sunday across the league. And first of all, good morning, Ian.
Yo,
glad to have you.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Murph and Max Show on the UMA guest line. Second of all, dude. The 49ers are bad.
It's a mess out here, Ian. It's a mess.
They're bad. They look poorly coached.
Four losses in a row.
They looked lost. Yeah. They looked without purpose, function,
Well, the opening
energy.
Drive, they look great, and then they retreat into this weird.
Why don't you just turn your national microscope on these 49ers, Ian, and tell us how bad it is from a national perspective.
Well, you know, anytime you lose a game on national TV and it looks kind of ugly like that, not good. And I think, you know, it rained, it was ugly. Anytime you get a situation like that, you know, it's just all bad. And the fact that Jimmy threw some balls where you're just like, oh man, I cannot believe that. And it's not even like bad decisions throwing into double cover, just like poorly thrown footballs. Tough to fathom, looks very bad. And the fact that Kyle Shanahan's comments after the game were kind of like, yeah, I guess I'll start this guy. You know, certainly something that does not look good in any form or fashion for the 49ers.
Now, I wonder if it's – so, your opinion from far away, is this the time they make the move to Trey Lance? I mean, the crazy thing we were saying, Ian, is that as bad as it is, they've lost four in a row. They don't look good doing it. In a seven-team playoff NFC, they're only one game out of the 3-3 seventh spot. That's like – the justification you'd say for keeping the veteran in there. But the other thing is, no, you're terrible. You're playing bad ball. Might as well move the future that you mortgaged now.
If he's ready. I mean, this it all is reachable. It all is something that, that you know, they win a couple games, they get back in. And, I mean, it's not too late by any stretch of the imagination. It's all if Trey Lance is ready. I mean, we've seen Jimmy Garoppolo healthy. We've seen him not healthy. We've seen him in the rain. Obviously, last night was bad, and he has played better. But to me, it's all, is Trey Lance ready? We've seen a game of Trey Lance. He looked okay. You know, I would not say great, but he looked okay. It's just, is he going to help the football team? Because if he's going to learn on the job, kind of like Justin Fields and Zach Wilson have done, that is absolutely fine. But certainly it does not help your season. And it probably sends you in the wrong direction. So all those things end up needing to be considered.
Ah, man, we got, as the headline says in the Chronicle, ain't no sunshine for the Niners.
None.
Not anywhere. So obviously that's something we'll talk about. But you're here to talk about the rest of the league, too. And, hey, man, misery loves company. And, man, the Kansas City Chiefs are in misery. Wow, Ian, this is shocking. What do you make of that? And do you have any report on Patrick Mahomes' health? Because
that was scary.
That looked really bad.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah, we'll start with Mahomes' health. He cleared the NFL's concussion protocol, so he actually talked to reporters after the game. That is a sign that he is not in the protocol and was cleared. So that's good. You know, it was a nasty hit. He looked slow getting up. I know he was being real cautious. He said after the game he was not woozy. I will take his word for it because I don't know what else to do. And he cleared the protocol and he talked to reporters. So that would make you think he is fine. With the Chiefs, I mean, it's weird because, you know, they've done a lot of the stuff they've been doing for years, you know, moving Patrick around, throwing on the run, taking some chances, and it's kind of never really come back to bite him at all. Except for right now. And, you know, is it just bad luck? Is he going through a bad stretch? Is he going to have to change the way he plays the game? You know, I don't know. To me, I think they'll end up being fine. But then I said that last week and they got really stomped by the Titans. So I think it's all fixable. They just really got to do it.
Wow. So Mahomes actually came out of that okay. That's kind of amazing. I am looking at their, they're 3-4. The leaders of the AFC West are the Raiders, post Gruden Raiders.
They look awfully good, by the way.
Yeah, what's
they
going
really
on
do.
There? You're going to hop on that story next,
That's
Ian.
An
huh?
offense, man.
Well, without a coach.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you know, the Raiders lost their coach and everyone's like, what are they going to do? But they really were in a different, you know, they really were in a different situation than almost every other team that loses their coach. Because usually when you lose a coach, it's just completely disastrous. right? Like, it's just your team is terrible and everyone's in disarray. This was not really like that. This was a good team, a pretty good team, that lost their coach, and it felt like everyone kind of took a deep breath afterwards, and all the rest of the infrastructure is still in place. Offense, you know, they changed play callers, but Greg Olsen has been there. Defense is fine. Derek Carr's been maybe a little bit better. I think the Raiders look good. Now they go into the bye with no major injuries. They get a little healthy. The Raiders are not terrible.
No, they're not, and you're right. They're going into the bye 5-2. By the way, I was looking for Kansas City's next game. As you say, they can get better. They host the New York Giants on a Monday night, so they're probably going to get better in a hurry, although the Giants hammered the Panthers yesterday.
They had a nice game yesterday. Yeah,
what's going on with that? They went from, like, disaster last week to they're back. I mean, the NFL, you write these stories week to week, and speaking of which, the week-to-week story of Tom Brady continues to stagger us all.
I mean,
600 TDs. Ian, what's the backstory on this touchdown that Mike Evans gave away to a fan?
And that's pretty funny.
What do you have? What's the latest on that?
There's a lot here. So, So Brady throws the 600th touchdown pass, which sounds like Mike Evans had no idea. He is a very nice guy. He gives it to a fan. Sorry, did you hear that? That
was a weird... No, you're fine. You're fine.
He gives it to a fan, mm-hmm. and everyone kind of goes out on their way, and turns out it's a 600 ball. Someone approaches the fan, is like, hey, can you give it back? And he gives it back in exchange for some memorabilia and some signed stuff. Didn't sound like he realized it was the 600th ball. And so he's going to get some stuff, but, you know, they could auction it off and it'll be like worth $500,000 according to one estimate.
Oh,
the fan just gave it away for some signed stuff. So, you know, it's pretty interesting, kind of funny, but I think the fan should have held out for a little more.
Yeah, what do you think? Would you have done that as a fan?
Wow.
I remember having a discussion with a guy during the Maguire-Sosa chase, and he was saying that he would hang on to these balls, and I don't know, I was on a high and mighty horse back then, like, no, you got to give it back, man. It belongs to the game.
But now Murph needs to pay his electric bill, so he's like, you know what? I might have held out a little bit. Yeah,
exactly.
I got a kid college tuition right around the corner.
Exactly. Yeah. So what do you think, Ian?
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Yeah. I mean, let's say it was me. Let's say I got the 600th ball. The best thing to do is you just leave, right? Yeah. Then they'll find you. They obviously know who you are, all that. but you just leave, and then you let someone else handle the negotiations. Yeah. That would be the move.
Hire an agent,
like,
yeah.
You know, hire an agent, hire – surely there's someone who does this, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so basically – so you wouldn't have to be the bad guy because you don't want the public watching you sit there and haggle over like how much dollars you're going to get for a ball. You know, like you let someone else do that and just be like, hey, I'm going to let my agent handle that. That would be the move. Get out of the public's way and you kind of let everyone handle it.
So what's this guy going to get? He's going to get, like Brady said, we'll get him a helmet, a couple of jerseys or something. That's what he said.
Yeah. I mean, and the weird thing to me is apparently it involves $1,000 at the team store, which is sort of like when you win a golf tournament and they give you a credit to the pro shop. It's like, yeah, thank you for this money, but it's also going back to you anyway.
Oh, man, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, pretty funny. That's good. Anyway, we'll follow that. And the guy's either good-hearted or an idiot, depending on your view of the world. Speaking of view of the world, how about the view of the world in Cincinnati, Ohio?
Look at the Bengals.
41-17 over the Ravens. Yeah. Joe Burrow.
Those
are
great.
416. And those of us who drafted Ja'Marr Chase in our fantasy teams,
Ian,
we're all going to take a bow now because they all heckled us when we made the pick. Oh, you see all those drops in the preseason?
Look at this.
I was like, well, yeah, but I have faith. And here we are, Ian.
You know, it's funny. Every week I go through different topics I'm going to end up discussing on Sunday for our pregame show. And you know, it's sort of a give and take, and who knows what ends up making air and what doesn't. I had a topic for week one and how confident the Bengals were in Ja'Marr Chase, how the drops were literally just like, not like fake news, but like they didn't see any of it in practice, had a great week of practice, and they think he's going to go off. And I was kind of like, ah, it's just a little too much of a risk. It's opinion. It's not really fact, all of that. I should have gone with it. I would have looked like a genius.
Yeah. See?
Because he, I mean, it really, I hope this will make us consider what we actually see in the preseason, because there is so much fake stuff we see in the preseason, including rookie quarterbacks looking great because the defenses are vanilla.
Right.
And players dropping the ball. And, like, Ja'Marr Chase has been one of the best receivers in the NFL, probably going to be the offensive rookie of the year. Just, you know, amazing. He's been amazing.
Well, I believe what, most receiving yards through any, through his first seven games, more than anybody in NFL history. So, I mean, that, yeah, it says it all
and
right
it's
there.
It's been even better when you watch him.
Yeah, right. And it's awesome. And again, those of us who own him, we're so excited. Hey, speaking of which, I was looking ahead of the schedule. Arizona Cardinals 7-0, and I was thinking, man, where do they go next? How about this? Green Bay at Arizona Thursday night.
Good game. Nice game.
That's a great game. That's got to be one of the better Thursday night games we've had, although we've had some really good ones this year. You know, it's funny because I still think not everybody believes the Cardinals. Yeah. I still think people are kind of like, yeah, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, and yes, you know, I don't think beating the Texans is going to prove anything, but, you know, these, it's kind of like we're talking about with the Niners, but reverse. I mean, it seems like what you do on national TV ends up getting magnified. And, you know, so the Niners look terrible on national TV. Everyone's losing their minds, and it's like, should they switch quarterbacks, all that stuff. Well, I think for the Packers, it might be the opposite. It might be like the national coming out party that they've sort of been waiting for, even though they sort of got it already. You know, I mean, they're undefeated. They're probably the best team in the NFL, but if they beat the Packers on national TV, then I think they'll probably get it even more.
Yeah, for sure. And I am one of those guys. I'm just conditioned through the decades to not believe in the Arizona Cardinals. So I mean, it's just like one of those reflexive things. So I'm like, yeah, they'll fall back. They'll fall back. Even if they make the playoffs, they won't win the NFC. So I'm one of those skeptics, and we'll see how they do against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. And we think about, like, sliding doors. If Mason Crosby misses that field goal in Santa Clara, 51-yarder, which he wound up missing the next week over and over again in that crazy game they had with the Bengals, right?
Yeah.
The Niners would go to 3-0. The Packers would have started 1-2. And once again, Ian, I say this to you every Monday, kickers write history, right?
So bad. The worst.
I mean, it really is. Yeah.
Oh, man.
It is weird, but I think for the Niners, I mean, just figuring out some way to get their footing under them is just, I don't know. It's going to be a very interesting week to see what he does with the quarterback and see whether or not Trey Lance is even able to practice, you know?
Yeah, and they're going to Chicago, and you mentioned Justin Fields and the Bears. I mean, they're coming off getting it absolutely destroyed yesterday. What's the general feeling on that whole situation?
Well, on the Bears? Sorry.
Yeah. The Bears and Justin Fields. Yeah, I mean, that's where the Niners are going to feel better. Fields, 22 of 32, 3 interceptions, 184, huh?
But this is sort of the problem. It's like, and I would say it really – I'm not saying Trey Lance is going to be like this, but this is the issue. Is everybody wanted to play Justin Fields. Andy Dalton sucks. It needs to be Justin Fields. The future is now, all
yeah,
that.
Right, right.
The problem is, if he's not ready, if he's going to learn kind of on the fly, then you have games like that. Yeah. Like, he'll probably win some, but you have games like that. So it's just, if you play your rookie quarterback, you are going to get the ups and downs that come with that. And so for the 49ers, similar to what the Bears would have been with Andy Dalton, I think they thought they were a playoff team. You play your rookie quarterback, unless he's Herbert or Burrow, who seem to be the anomalies, then there's going to be some ups and downs, and you're going to have to ride with it, and that might not end in the playoffs. You have to be okay with that result.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, before I let you go, just a thought on the Stafford-Goff Bowl down there in L.A. I mean, the Lions actually showed pretty well, and they had a chance, but the story was written the way the Rams wanted, with Goff throwing the interception at the end to lose it and Stafford getting the win.
And what a great play by Jalen Ramsey, too, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just, I mean, perfect play in the last minute, right when he needed it. You know, I would say it's funny because the Lions seem to get a lot of national praise for losing games sort of the right way or whatever, which is not the way it works for a lot of teams, but I think for them it does. So I don't know. It's, people always say, oh, I'd love to play for Dan Campbell. I mean, they have not won a game yet. He has not won a game in the NFL yet. But everyone talks about the way they lose. And I guess maybe they're so untalented that they get credit. I don't know. It's been interesting to watch.
Yeah, he's got that.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't think.
As you say, he's got that charisma or whatever, where people are like, oh, yeah, I like that 0-7 guy. I like the way he talks, you know?
Yeah. Right. And, I mean, press conferences are one thing, and he does have very good press conferences.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's an interesting sort of double standard. I mean, Robert Saleh is losing games with the Jets, and he doesn't seem. I mean, I think maybe they're losing games not as well. Like, it's very strange.
Yeah.
But, the media does seem to be behind Dan Campbell, and that's okay. And I think they did fight hard, but you know, for the Rams overcoming that and just getting a win somehow with all the kind of emotion that, like, you can't assume that Stafford wasn't affected. He clearly was. He
right.
was going
right.
facing his former team. You know that was emotional. Now it's over. Now everyone can kind of go back to being normal.
Yeah, for sure. And then the Rams, by the way, are quietly 6-1 doing their thing. So, all right, Ian, good breakdown. We will follow your reports all week on the Niners and the quarterback situation. And, of course, I should actually not let you go with that one thought on the Deshaun Watson situation. Why is his name back on the front burner?
Well, the trade deadline's coming. Mm-hmm. You know, November 2nd, and if he's not traded by then he's not going to probably play at all this season. So you have multiple teams interested. You know, I know all the reports were about the Dolphins this week, but there are other teams, and the Carolina Panthers are one of them, kind of monitoring and engaged, and we'll see what happens. If he is able, you know, if the trade does happen, I would expect him to be eligible. He's in good shape and he's ready. You know, I don't know which team it's going to be. I do believe he gets traded before November 2nd, but many people have believed many things over the course of a very, very strange storyline over the, you know, 7 months or so. So we will have to wait this one out and see what happens.
All right, trade deadline November 2. Good to know. All right, Ian, good stuff. Thanks for the time.
All right, take care, guys.
See you, man.
Rap Sheet doing his thing. Yeah, Deshaun Watson back in the news.
Deshaun Watson, there's a lot going on here. Did Rap Sheet make you feel any better?
No.
No, me neither.
No offense to him.
No, it has nothing to do with rap. Yeah. It's good to hear his voice.
In fact, probably the 7 o'clock crowd probably needs to know unleash the fury that we unleashed on them at 6 a.m., but are you also going
to
unleash
I do have a very special announcement to make, but I'm always up for unleashing some fury. I would have to find it, though, because I haven't played it in ages. It's around somewhere, so give me a little bit of time on that. I'll find that one a little bit. But in the meantime, let me tell you about this. Murph, we got a big, big event happening out there in Las Vegas. Right there, it's the scene of the crime for Waterboy, too, the new home of the Las Vegas Raiders. We're going to send you out to Vegas, give you an opportunity to get out to Vegas for Ultimate Music. Cope's a little atmospheric music, if I could, from our friends over here in Metallica. That's what I'm talking about. Murph, you want to go to Ultimate Music Weekend live in Las Vegas? You want to go?
I do.
It's going to be at the brand new Raider Stadium. I got Metallica playing. Remember the band that caught Gabe Kapler's ear during one of his pre-gamers a couple of weeks ago?
Hold on, everybody. You guys hear that? That's Greta Van Fleet right there.
Yeah, yeah.
You hear the riffs? Uh-huh. Kind of an offshoot of Led Zeppelin out of the Midwest.
Anyway, Greta Van Fleet's going to be the opening band.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. So that's a nice double bill right there. Metallica, Greta Van Fleet. Murph, this one's for you. The Metallica gig is on the 25th. You want to catch your breath because the next night, the true heavyweights of rock and roll come in. Billy Joel and his band.
Nice.
I'll tell you the truth. The guy's selling out stadiums. I had no idea he could still pull like that.
We're sending people to...
We're going to send you to the Metallica show and then Billy Joel gigs the next night in the same stadium. Yes.
You're on your own for Joel. All right.
Unless you want to get tickets right now, because tickets for both shows go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. But you don't want to wait till Friday. You're excited to go to the gig. You be caller 13 right now. Talk to Waterboy. Tell him his Raiders are doing great. Tell him you like Metallica when you call 415.
What are we giving away here?
Well, we're going to give you a chance to win 2 tickets to go see Metallica.
Okay.
On February 25th.
With Greta Van Fleet opening.
Gabe Kapler might be calling in.
I'm calling number 7. Am I calling number 7?
Are we flying him down there?
We're going to do it all. We're going to fly. We're going to put you up. We're going to send you to the show. We're going to do it all. Murph, it's funny you ask.
Hotel?
Has a 2-night hotel stay at the Rio All Suite Hotel and Casino Sound. Oh, you want round trip airfare for 2? Got you covered on that as well. Hey, you want all the contest details? Go to KMBR.com/contest. But again, caller 13 right now. 415-478-KMBR. You qualify. 2 tickets, February 25th, Metallica in Vegas. Good luck to you. And by the way, Murph will do it each hour, every day this week.
Boom. Call Waterboy right now. Our Rage and Tim Ryan next on KMBR 104.5 and 680, the Sports Leader.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast, wherever you listen.